unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all. His majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here on another amazingly beautiful day, March 7th. Welcome. I have a few announcements before we go on with our worship service. First of all four of these flower arrangements that we have here this morning are given by the family of Eugene Weidenbach in his memory. We had his funeral service on Friday morning. For those of you that maybe did not know Eugene, he was just over 100 years old and the last living World War II veteran in Scotland. So what a legacy his life was. We continue to pray for Lorene, his wife, and the family. Some other announcements. So Ann and I are going on a pastor and wife retreat, leaving tomorrow morning. It's down at near Louisville, Nebraska, between Omaha and Lincoln. So we'll leave tomorrow morning and get back Thursday afternoon sometime. So Jennifer will be in the office except for Thursday. She's gone. So otherwise, if you need something, you can call the church office or one of the consistory members. Also, Vacation Bible School, which is the end of May, but it's going to be here soon. There are openings there for helpers in the science section, in the snacks, for games. So please look at those. Also, you need to register your children. You need to sign up for t-shirts for them, the size that they'll be wearing. The suggested donation on the t-shirt is $10. Adults, if you want to order t-shirts, you are more than welcome to do that. That's all on the west wall there in the social hall. The women of the church, this wasn't on the calendar and it's not in the bulletin, trying to find a time that will work for a meeting, so it's going to be March 21st, two Sundays from today. We have coffee hour that day as well, so that usually works best for the women. Please remember that. Also, confirmation classes, there will not be confirmation classes this Wednesday. And Saturday night coming, remember to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. All right, we lose that hour of sleep. Last thing, I believe, there's a lot more to read, but just these certain items here. The family fun event, last year we didn't get to do it, of course, because of COVID. We usually do this once a year at the bowling alley in Yankton, so it's next Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, but there's sign-up sheets in the narthex there, so we get an idea for that, how many would be bowling, and then if you want to go to Pizza Ranch after that. We always have a great time. I guess one more thing, cantata. We could still use some more voices in the community Easter cantata. The next practice is this Tuesday night, so keep that in mind. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, it is with joy and excitement and thanksgiving in our hearts that we do come before your throne today. Father, you are the Ancient of Days. And Jesus, you are our King and our Lord, our Savior, our God. And we come to worship you with everything that is within us. Father, as we gather in your name, as always, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God would fill this place, that you would manifest your presence here. Lord, we often think of what Moses said as you walked with them. He said, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, then what else is there to distinguish us from all the other peoples on the face of the earth? And it is yet the same today. So, Father, thank you for your presence, for the Spirit of the living God who lives within us, for your glory being manifest in this sanctuary, for the moving of your Spirit among us. We praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn is number 43. If you want to stand together, number 43, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. And yes, we will. Well, before you're seated, just give each other an air high five or however you prefer to greet. All right. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. I'll start out with several things I have written down. First of all, on Tuesday is Idella Herbold's birthday. Now, is that number 98? Do I have that right? All right, so 98 to Idella. And a lot of times they get to watch the service, the care center. I don't know if they will this week because we'll be gone. But so anyway, if you think about it, send her a card or something. She does pretty well for 98. Other prayers for Frieda Nuss. She's in the Freeman Hospital. And at this point, that's really all the more I can say about it by request to the family. So just be lifting her up in your prayers, please. Also, Phyllis Whale. She did start chemo this last week, and she's at McKinnon Hospital in Sioux Falls. Jennifer said it's been a difficult week for her, but the good part is either Friday or yesterday, they started letting some of the family come in to be with her, so that has definitely helped. Prayers for Lee and Mary Heckenleibel, their nephew. This would be Mary's sister's little boy, Isaac. They live up in Fargo, North Dakota. He's 3 years old and has Down syndrome, but he's done pretty well. But he does have COVID, and so he's in the hospital in Fargo. So prayers for him. His name is Isaac. Anything else? Over here. Okay. Cindy? AJ Herbold has his 16th birthday today. Happy birthday, AJ, wherever you're at. Somewhere, maybe. Okay, how about anything over here? Yes, oh, there he is, right there. Brian. Cindy had a big birthday. Yes, she did. About a week ago, huh? The 5th. Happy birthday to our organist.
Yes.
Yeah. Not 100, but maybe halfway there. God bless you. We love how you play the organ. That's for sure. Amen. Anything else before we pray? Oh, Brian.
Just a shout out to Leland and Claire May.
Yes. Prayers for Leland and Claire May Weedmeyer. Absolutely. Say what? Right. And they listen every week too, I know, to the service. So, yes, we are praying for you and others. Judy Fierst and Milo Merrily, many of them that listen online. So, okay, let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for a beautiful weather week. It's just been amazing. We're grateful for it. I would imagine it helps the process with those that are calving and lambing and those various things. And we just rejoice in your goodness and pray that that will continue to go well. We thank you for these birthdays, especially Idella of 98 years coming on Tuesday, and we thank you for just watching over her, keeping her safe, and the other birthdays mentioned. Lord, we do lift up Frieda as she's in the Freeman Hospital. You know the situation. We pray for the family as they have to make certain decisions. We pray for the doctors, for wisdom. Lord, we just thank you for your healing touch throughout her being. And we pray as well for these others that are in various stages of a battle against cancer. For Phyllis Whale, we pray. For Jimmy Whale, we pray. For Terry Seiler, Lord, many names. We pray for Walter Seiler, Jake, Lord, and all these names in the bulletin that we have. Just thank you for working in them in such a mighty way by the power of your Spirit, through what medical science can do, but as always, more than that, your power that is greater than all. Thank you for walking with these individuals through these journeys in their life. We want to lift up this little boy, Isaac, up there in Fargo, with COVID, and we just pray that he improves each and every day. Be with his parents too. Lord, the healthcare workers, we're grateful for all of them. They are so important always, not just in this time, but always. And give them strength for the work that you have called them to do, wherever that might be. Father, we want to thank you for our our troops, those in full time, those in the National Guards. We pray especially for Troy Heckenleibel over there in Africa. We pray for Carmen Taylor as she has a month left about of her deployment. We pray for Corbin Auk as he's in training and in the process in the Army, and all the other names listed there too. We thank you for their willingness to serve our nation so faithfully. We pray for your hand of protection upon them. And Father, as we pray for our nation, we continue to ask for a great awakening across this land. Lord, you are greater than all. You have done it so many times over the ages. We've seen it in your word. We've seen it in our own nation a couple different times of great awakenings that we read about. And it would seem that we are more than ripe for that across this land by the power of your Spirit. And so we trust you in that. Guide our leaders nationally and in the state level, Lord. Your word says the heart of the king is in your hand, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. And we thank you for the work that you are doing always. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you care about every detail of our lives and watching over this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read James chapter 4, verse 10, just a very simple verse. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And we'll be seeing more of that in the scripture that we're reading today. So as most all of you know, the offering box is in the back, and let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we do praise you, Lord, as we have this opportunity to bring our offerings here into your storehouse. You bless us in such incredible ways, and we thank you for it. We know that you are our source. We know that everything we have is yours, Lord. Thank you for the strength and health that you give us from day to day to even be able to work. And let us be thankful about that and for that. Father, most of all, we do say thank you for Jesus and the salvation that comes to us through Christ alone. So we ask that you bless these offerings today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Sisterly love. Good morning, boys and girls. Whoop. Good morning. How are you all today? Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, what does it mean to put others first? What does that mean? You can put them first in line. Like that means like let them go in front of you. You mean? Put them first. Okay. What else? What? Give them candy instead of you eating it. That would be putting them first, right? Or letting them eat it first, right? Bo? Let them have the snack first, right? Those are all very good ideas. Let them have the milk first. Okay, putting others first. Well, why should we do this? Do you think we should do that? Is that a good thing to do? Laura? Yes, because when you're talking about putting God first, right? Because God wants us to do this, boys and girls. How do we know? Where do we look? In the where? Bible, and the Bible tells us, and today it's from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says here, verse 3. Do nothing, this is what Paul's telling us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That means don't be selfish, right? Don't do something and it's going to be selfish or vain conceit. Don't do something and then say, hey, I'm really so good at this and I'm better than you. He said, don't do things for that reason. Don't do them for that reason. Rather, then he tells us what to do. Be humble. Value others above yourself. And some of you said some of those things. Let others go first. Don't look at your own interests, but each one of you look at the interest of others first. That's what it's talking about. That's what God's talking about. Put others first. So what do you think that would look like? Let me look at my bag here, what I got today. It's kind of, I had something big in there, so I had to find something big. And this is pretty big. Let's see here. Okay. Say you're at home and you have your favorite chips. These are mine. How about yours? What are your favorite chips? Any kind? Any kind? Yeah, well, see, in our house, you know, just to say your house and you have all kinds of bags of chips and all of a sudden, one bag's left. So what do you do? You say, these are my favorite. These are my favorite, and I'm just going to take them and eat them all. Is that what you do?
No, you can't.
If we do what God says in here, oops. Sorry about that, Valerie. I'll give you, I think I have enough for everybody maybe to have one at the end. That you let somebody else have those chips first, or you let them have them. That's putting others first. Okay, just I'm gonna choose this real quick. Okay, what about with your friend? What would putting them first look like? You say you have a PlayStation, right? We have a PlayStation. And you only have one controller though, because the other one broke. But you're just really good at this game and you're just, you know, you're the better than your friends, so you're just gonna keep doing that. Is that what putting others first would look like with your games? What would it look like? Letting them go first, right? Yeah, letting others go first. How about at school? Sometimes in PE, do you play games? Like volleyball or basketball or kickball or... What do you think about the one that hogs the ball all the time? Like in basketball. You ever seen a ball hog? That they never pass the ball to their teammates because they are the best, right? They're thinking, man, I can do this, and I'm going to be the one making that basket, so they don't share. But would that be putting others first?
No.
That's right. You would be a team. To put others first, you'd be a teammate, and you pass the ball. Don't always hug it. Hog it, I mean. So those are things that we could do practically, that we could all do. Our example is Jesus. Do you know that Jesus put us first? Do you guys know that? Where did Jesus live before he came here to earth as a baby? Before that, my PlayStation. He lived in heaven. Jesus was in heaven with God. He was in heaven, but because we sinned, he had to come here and he put us first. He put us first, and he came here, and he lived, and he showed us all about God, and he forgave sins, and he healed people. And then what did he have to do?
He died on the cross
for us. Did he show us that he put us first?
Yeah.
He put every one of us first. And we weren't even born yet. And he still knew us, though. He knew we would be. And he knew that one day we would accept him as our Savior. And he washes our sins away. That is the ultimate putting others first that Jesus did. So I want you to think about that. You know, when you put others first, when other people see you put others first, they're saying, wow, that boy or girl is pretty neat. They're not just wanting it all for themselves. You know what? I think I see Jesus in them. And that's what happens, and that is real. And that is walking as boys and girls who love Jesus, all right? So this week, when you have the opportunity, and it's going to come up, because it always is, even whether it's with your siblings at home, we want to be first, we want it to be mine, we want all of it, stop and think, what does God want us to do? What does he want us to do? Put others first. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you gave us, you showed us the ultimate sacrifice of serving others and putting others first, and that was us. That was each one of us here. As we're in this season of Lent, help us to be mindful of that. Help us to understand better what that means for us to serve others, to put others first, to show them love for you and love to them. Let these boys and girls just go and shine their light to others this week, wherever they go. Bless them, Father, and help them to serve others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ann. Yes, let him multiply those chips here. We'll sing number 40, please. This is in the praise book, Change My Heart, O God, number 40. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. And let's bow our heads, please. Father, that is our prayer, that always by the power of your Spirit you continue to work in each of our lives. Lord, that always by the power of your word, the living word of God, that you work in our lives. We know we are far from perfect. We have cracks all over the place, so to speak. We have faults, we have sin. But thank you for being patient with us. Thank you that you said in your word that you are faithful, and you who begin a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And help us to yield to that working as you reveal things in our lives, as you confront us, as you encourage us, as you correct us, as you rebuke us. All of that is part of our walk with you. And so, Lord, let us be hearers of your word and doers of your word. And I ask that you would speak through me this morning by your Spirit, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14. 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 through 6, and we're going on, but I'm going to read those verses here because this all flows together in this chapter. So Luke 14, verse 1 says this: "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?' But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, 'If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?' And they had nothing to say. Verse 7, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Amen. So, we're in Luke 14 for a couple different reasons. We spent at least a month looking in parts of the book of Acts at the early church, and the theme at that time was, "We preach Jesus. He is the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life. His word is our truth that never changes in the midst of this world in which we live, that is, things are always changing. We preach Jesus because he never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Ever. Hebrews says that. So then we went back to Luke 15 as we started our Lenten season when the youth sang that night. Reckless Love is what it was called. And the phrase in there is about Jesus. He leaves the 99 to go after the one sheep that is lost. Such amazing love. Which then brought us back to Luke 14. That's why we're here, in case you're wondering. We're following Jesus. If we're going to preach Jesus, we got to follow him. That's what we're doing. So those first seven verses, this was on the Sabbath day. You know, the Pharisees were always trying to trap him. It says he was invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee on the Sabbath day. And they had a man there who had dropsy. Remember I talked to you about that. Dropsy would be like a form of edema today, where bodily fluid is building up, It's usually the result of something. Could be the result of congestive heart failure. There's buildup of fluid. Could be if the kidneys are failing, there's a buildup of fluid. Those things cause it. So here's this man who would never be invited to the home of a Pharisee because they believed that if a person had dropsy, it was the result of sin, more specifically some type of sexual sin. So here's Jesus. He knows what they're trying to do to him, trying to trap him, and he asks them that question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, according to their thinking, no. But Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. And so it says, he took hold of this guy. It doesn't say, like he often did, he just spoke to the man, said, be healed. No. Doesn't say he touched him. It says, can I have Trent run up here real quick again? He was my volunteer last week. It says he took hold of the man, which is a very strong, active Greek word. And as I showed you, let's say this is the guy with dropsy, right? Full of fluid, almost drowning in his fluid. And this is the picture. He just took hold of that man and said, be healed. And he was. Instantly. Thank you. I got to lift you while I still can. You'll be next. Okay. That's his little 3-year-old sister, in case you didn't catch that. Going to be 3, I think. Is 3. Going to be 4. Okay. So the deal of that first 6 verses, what we talked about was here, the hypocrisy of it was, here was this man drowning in his own bodily fluids, because that's what can happen with those things, congestive heart failure, kidney failure. That's what happens. And yet, he was telling them, you guys, if you have an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath, or your own son falls into a well, would those things happen commonly at that time? Lots of wells, usually open, not covered. You would rescue that ox or your son out of that well, wouldn't you? And yet you're coming against me because I'm healing this guy who's drowning in his own fluid. I'm healing him on the Sabbath. And they had nothing to say, the end of verse 6 says. They had nothing to say. They knew he had him. All right, so then let's pick up here. That's what we did 2 weeks ago in a nutshell. The meal is continuing on pretty much through this whole chapter. The meal continues. They have nothing to say. If you're filling in blanks, we're starting here on your outline, okay? And this is very simple. We all know it. We should know it. Jesus knows us inside and out, and he does. He does. What does it say in verse 7 there? When he noticed how the guests picked their places of honor at the table. All right, so we know from the earlier verses, this is a room, the house is, and the invited guests are Pharisees and experts in the law. So the uppity up of that society at that day, that's who's invited. The guy that was healed, Jesus said, you can go your way, because he knew that was the only reason they wanted him there, was just to try and trap him and say he had sinned on the Sabbath. So he's watching them now. How they pick the places of honor there at the table for this meal. Just as he knows everything about them and knew everything about them, he knows everything about us, doesn't he? But yeah, I mean, we know that mentally, but yet, I don't know, sometimes we don't really act on it or what. We all are guilty of it. We think, maybe we're not thinking about him, that he knows everything about me. Maybe we're thinking, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness, and we need to. We need to do that. But he knows. He knows our motives, our attitudes, our thoughts. Even there's a verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 when David was giving a charge, King David, to his son Solomon about building the temple because Solomon was going to be the next king. And he says this to him, 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him, how? With wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord, this is the part, the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. So here's the meal. The table, at that time, they say it would have been in a U shape, pretty much. So you got coming down here, here, short, and then going down this way. Easy to picture in our minds. The host always got to sit at the head spot, probably the only one there, depending how long this was. And then it was among the Pharisees because they loved the places of honor. That's what they wanted when they were together. It's what they wanted when they were out among the people. So Jesus is just sort of sitting there watching this. Probably this scramble of who's fighting for the first on either side and then all the way down the table. That's what's happening there. Honor was a big thing with the Pharisees, and he knew it. Matthew 23, here's a verse where he's talking to them, says this, or talking, telling someone about them, I guess. Everything they do, the Pharisees, the experts in the law, everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries, and they make their phylacteries wide and their tassels long. You know what the phylactery is? That's that box, leather cube box that would go on the forehead of the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. What was in it? Parts of the Torah they had folded up to put in there. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he said, speaks of God's word to keep it before your eyes always. And so they would either tie it around their head with a leather strap. When we went to Israel, we flew out of Philadelphia. That just happened on that flight. There were many Jewish rabbis waiting to get on that flight as well. And as their certain time of prayer came, it was really very interesting to watch. I'm not knocking it, but you'd see they'd sort of go off to the side, they'd get that phylactery out, put it on, tie, cover their head, and have their prayers, and they sort of go like this as they're doing it. And it, then even on the airplane, that's about a 10, 11-hour flight from Philadelphia over to Tel Aviv, Israel. It was when we were getting near landing that it was coming to one of their times of prayer, and this rabbi, he was going to do it. And so he did all of that, and he's standing there, and they're coming across the announcement over the plane. Everyone, please take your seats. You know how it goes, right? Put your seat belts on. We are starting our descent into Tel Aviv. Thank you. And this guy, he's not budging. And they say it again over the speaker, and finally the stewardess comes by, and she tells, sir, excuse me, sir, I don't mean to interrupt, but you must sit down. He is totally ignoring her. He's going to do his thing. And then she comes back and says, sir, I'm sorry, but you have to sit down. It is the law, aviation, whatever, whatever. And it was getting a little heated. And finally he did sit down and we got to land the plane. But so what this, he's saying, you make your phylacteries wide, another extra big just to see them, and your tassels, that's on the bottom of the robe, you make them extra long just to be seen. They love the place of honor, going on in this verse, at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. All right. Second. First was Jesus knows us inside and out. He was observing. Second, so what is true humility? Because that's what he's getting at here with them and towards us too. What is true humility? Let me read part of verse 8 here going on, and then we'll get to that. It says, so when he says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a more distinguished person than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important seat. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. All right. So the wedding feast, this is a parable, right? He's telling them this parable. In their communities at that time, the wedding feast would have been the most formal event and the biggest attended event socially that they had. So a lot of times very similar in our day. Not all weddings are big, but they are a very big event, aren't they? And so, again, these guys, when that was happening, they wanted the best seats. They thought they deserved it. People need to know who we are and where we are. And I'm a Pharisee. I'm an expert in the law. And you better look at me. I'm higher than you. And they were filled with that kind of pride. So today, well, let's think about weddings today. I get, you know, I don't see this happening. Of course, I don't know all what happens. But even, let's talk about pastor and his wife, okay? So some weddings, it's better than just the pastor's wife alone, right? She's looking at me like, what? So some wedding receptions, the tables are all marked, and we sit with a lot of times the parents of the groom or the bride. Some weddings, it's probably about 50-50, are not quite so formal. There's no really assigned seatings. We sit wherever we sit. And you know what? We are perfectly 100% fine with however that happens. We have never, nor do we ever think of, well, where is my name tag? I mean, what would that be like if I went to the father of the groom? I don't see my name tag on any table. Did you forget something here? How would that go over? Not very well, would it? No. As a matter of fact, sometimes we're told ahead of time, Pastor Mike, you and Ann, you got a spot up there, just letting you know. Sometimes nothing is said, and we, you know, it's easy to observe, and no tag or anything, which is fine. And we just sit wherever we sit, right? Then, when we're sitting wherever we sit, usually it gets to be sort of a teasing thing going on because people will join us and say, I think we're going to sit here because we might be the first table, one of the first tables. I shouldn't have said that because now nobody's going to ever want to sit with us again, right? No. So we tease about it, right? Either way is totally fine. We do not expect to be at the first of the line. But these guys did, and Jesus is trying to point out to them that pride, trying to extend some mercy to them. Hey, you guys, look at what you are doing. So true humility, okay, defined, there's many definitions, but here, it is recognizing that our worth or our value comes from God alone, comes from Him. It's not about us. To be humble involves working with His power according to His guidance, not just on our own independent effort. Now, we have to put our effort into it. Obviously, we know that. But it can't be, hey, look at what I've built. Look at my empire. Look at this. Look, yeah, I did all this. That gets into pride, doesn't it? No, but by the grace of God, God has allowed me to do this or that. It's by His power. But humility on the other side is not what we would call self-degradation. Oh, no, I'm terrible. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. That sometimes people think that's being humble. That's not being humble. No, it's realizing that our worth comes from God alone. Okay, so He's telling them, take the lowest place, all right? Just sit there. Now, as I was working on this, I thought, I hope nobody is thinking, Pastor Mike, that's my verse. That's why I like to sit in the back of the church. I'm just teasing, okay? No, that's not a verse for that, okay? There's all different reasons why people sit wherever they sit, okay? There's no status thing for where people sit in church at all. It's just where you choose to sit. But He was saying to them, take the lowest seat. And I guess I'd add in there, and if you don't get asked to move forward at a banquet, don't be offended. Don't be offended about it. verse 11, because it says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted by God," right? Point three. So who are we trying to impress is the question. Who are we really trying to impress? Most of all, we need to be concerned about God, our Father, and pleasing Him and following His word. That is who we should try to not really impress, isn't so much the word, but to obey and to follow, right? Rather than aiming for prestige, we should look for a place where we can serve, just willingly serve, because here's some blank. Service is more important in God's kingdom than status. Service is more important in God's kingdom than status, right? Now, as we go on here, I'm not preaching this because I think, wow, we got a big problem with this here in the congregation. No, I don't think we do at all, honestly. This is when you go through a chapter verse by verse, then this is how you preach it, right? But we all can certainly have areas of pride in our life. So going on to verse 12, Jesus said to his host, so still, this dinner is still going on. The guy that invited him, this prominent Pharisee, he says, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors." So, okay, and I was looking at John MacArthur's commentary in the Greek, and he brought out really there, it would read really in the original Greek, "Do not only invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors." He's not saying we can't have family gatherings, obviously, right? But they were all about that, those Pharisees. You give me that first seat on your right or on your left, and when it's my turn, you'll have that seat, okay? Deal? Deal. They're only doing it to be reciprocated, to be paid back. It was all this whole big pride thing that was going on. No, he's saying, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Invite whoever. So let's just think, there's many ways of doing that. There have been times where we've been at Christmas at my brother Mark's up in Sioux Falls, him and his wife work at Augustana. They've had foreign exchange students there for Christmas that couldn't go home. There was a time some years back when we were doing a big part of the mentor-mentee program out of the prison. We had Thanksgiving at our house, and we invited this guy who was living in a transition house, I guess I'd call it, in Yankton. We had him for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was great. It's great to do that. But what other ways, how do we do that? I was thinking through. I think when we serve at the banquet in Yankton, we're doing that, what Jesus is saying here. Times when we've had our youth group go to the Union Gospel Mission in Sioux Falls and work and serve meals, and there's one or two times we've done it with some adults, we're doing that. And what's the greatest thing of that? At least what I love the most is just the interaction with those people that are coming in. Most of them just down and out, have nothing, and they're coming in for a meal. And they're probably lonely, don't have anyone to talk to, and they just want a face, a person to visit with. It's very rewarding to do that, isn't it? Very much. How about our food drive for the Bethany Food Pantry? There we don't interact, but that's the opportunity to do it. You're not throwing the banquet, but you're giving the food for someone to have a banquet, so to speak. How about Mercy Meals? We've done that, and on we could go. See, the deal, the Pharisees, their acts of kindness, so to speak, were, for the most part, just self-serving. Why did they invite the man with dropsy, who they considered totally unclean, who they would never associate out on the streets, out in the public? Why did they invite him? For their own reason, to try and trap Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. That was what it was all about, and he knew it. And he was calling them out on these things, hopefully thinking they would repent. Some did. Who was one that certainly did? Nicodemus, right? In John 3, when he told him, Nicodemus, look, unless a man is born again, he's not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he explained all that to Nicodemus, what that meant. Verse 14, although they cannot repay you, and it's good to do outreach to individuals who you probably know, there is nothing they could give back to you. And that's good, and that's necessary. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And that gets in to the next week there. But listen, one more thing on this, what he's trying to tell him. Look, and we know this, it's not our works, it's not how much we can give or not give, or our own self-righteousness. None of that gets us into heaven. It is pure, simple faith alone in Jesus Christ. Period. By grace alone, by faith alone, through Christ alone. That is how. So let me just read this other verse in the Beatitudes. What does he say? So blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means I realize spiritually I am bankrupt. I am spiritually dead. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we realize I'm lost and without a Savior, I'm on my way to hell. And something needs to happen. And then we respond to Christ and the working of His Holy Spirit, calling out to Him, right? Blessed are those who mourn. We mourn over our sin, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then, verse 15, I didn't read it, I'm just going to now. When one of those at the table, so the banquet, the dinner's going on, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. See, he realized this guy's talking about something bigger than just our dinner here. Yeah, he's talking about eternal life. And then he goes into that. So as we walk through life, as we interact with people, we be sensitive to those around us, wherever they're at. Whatever their status in life might be, we care for them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We always need to be reminded of these things. Sometimes we think we don't, but we do. Father, it has been a difficult, really, a year for sure with what we've gone through, with the pandemic alone. Would be enough. All the turmoil of the elections, it has been very difficult. Father, sometimes we lose sight of you. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. Lord, sometimes we can get attitudes that are not quite pleasing. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for working in our hearts and our minds, Lord, each and every day. We do not want to exalt ourselves. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand and thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So thinking about the closing hymn, I thought this one, the words fit very well. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We'll stand as we sing this number 597, please. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee, swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne. Amen. And so we yield ourselves to him in surrender. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we will sing as a prayer for our nation, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Cindy, for the music, beautiful music, and you all have a blessed day and a wonderful week in the Lord.